Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2024 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. A little different format this year. We'll get into that and much, much more. You can find me on Twitter at Pediatric Podcast at Always Press DFS. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well for a Monday. Gonna enjoy it a little. Well, it was weird having no golf Sunday, but football was fun. Don't know what sides you're on, but football was fun. what was your thoughts on Torrey this past weekend, where we had another triple digit winner?
Yeah, see, the problem with it ending on Saturday is it's college basketball day this time of year, at least for me. So I didn't get to watch any of it. Had a bet on Jaeger, could have cashed that out for significantly more than what I bet and didn't do that. So yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch any of it. The leaderboard is weird. Like Tony was like the only guy, maybe Xander, I guess, too, the only two guys inside the top 10 with any kind of name recognition, for at least for the casual guy. So yeah, just a overall just strange tournament. The played a lot harder, or at least played harder this year than it has in years past, I think, because of that weather we talked about and the rough and stuff before the tournament. But yeah, I mean, I don't Pavon, I congrats, I guess. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, it played really tough over the weekend, I guess, because, you know, they had the lift, clean, and play on the first two rounds between the north and the south. There was no lift, clean, and play over the weekend, and that obviously had some kind of impact on your – because anything a pro can pick a ball up and place it wherever they want in the fairway, that'll obviously lead to better things.
Right.
But, yeah, that finish was wild. For not having the big names up there, Pavon – well, Jaeger going Audi on 16 broke my heart. So that was no fun. I know it wasn't great for you either. So that sucked. But then you had Hogarth hanging around. He had a chance. Pavon just started draining putts. His wedge, like, he looks like he was out of bounds on 15. Somehow stays in by like a foot, chips it up. That was nuts. And then on 18, like, all the drama on the face of the planet took place on 18. You got Hogarth and Jaeger in the fairway. Jaeger needs an eagle to get to 12. Pavon's at 12. Hogarth just needs a birdie to get to 12, because Pavon, just a horrible drive into the bunker, nowhere to hit it, has to basically pop it up, keeps it in the rough, like, a seemed like a dum-dum at the time.
Did you see him step behind that ball?
I was gonna ask you that. No idea live. We're like, how the hell did he hit that shot? Because you couldn't see his ball. Right. Even Dottie's like, I'm like 8 feet away and I can't see the top of it. It's gone. And so when you hear that, 18 obviously has the water in front, like, he's either gonna punch it out and play for par and the, like, a turn of playoff, or he's going in the water, is the way I see it. Like, there's no other alternative. And to get that out as clean as he did, we're like, wow, that's freaking amazing. And then that video came out, Jesse.
Yeah.
That video of the,
I mean, I don't know where his ball was. I can't tell you where his ball was. So I
it looked pretty close to where those two steps took place.
A little sketchy, in my opinion.
And I know, like, myself, when I'm not in the fairway, like, on it's a ritual of mine that's probably illegal, but when you're playing with friends, who cares? When I'm on a tee box, every time I put my tee in and the ball on, I always, like, put my foot behind the tee. I don't know why. Just like a flat, because I take a lot of chunky shots for some stupid reason. So I just like a habit I have now. I always step once behind there, like push it down for God knows what reason. I'm like, that's a tee box. I'm a 16 handicap. Who gives a shit? Right. Pavon literally won a tournament on, I don't know. The weird thing is, if that was Patrick Reed, this thing has blown up, and it just kind of, people saw, right, the video and it kind of went away.
Yeah, so. I'm with you. It was a strange ending there.
Very strange ending. It was fun. Like, it was pure theater. I had buddies of mine that barely follow golf texting me going, dude, this is awesome. I'm like, yeah, you're welcome. Golf is fun. yeah. The unfun part of golf, Jesse, Liv strikes again. And honestly, I'm not even mad at Liv anymore. Jay Monahan can go screw himself.
Yep.
That's the way I look at it. Like, these players, like, Jay Monahan screwed it up. Every player has the right to go take the money right about now. This is the way I look at it. I hate it. Yeah. I hate it for the game of golf, but go get paid. Tyrell Hatton was rumored a long time ago, said he wasn't going to go. Well, Tyrell Hatton went to Live, or technically is going to live, still in the field for the Pebble, but Liv teased it up this week. So we'll wait and see. Adrian Meronk pulled out of the Farmers. He went to Liv. That was on Wednesday or Tuesday, I think, last week. Or Monday. It was Wednesday morning before the round, actually, pulled out.
Yep.
Lucas Herbert's gone to Liv. Anthony Kim might be coming back and going to Liv. It's been a wild, like, 4 or 5 days in the Liv world as they go to Mayakoba this week to kick off their season. Any thoughts on this? Because I tweeted jokingly, I'm like, I might need to find the CW now, because at least they have enough names where I'm kind of entertained.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they've got it figured out. I mean, obviously money rules everything. So, when you can just pay people millions of dollars to come play on your golf tour, they're going to choose that over having to grind to try to win $1 million at one golf tournament. But, it sucks. It's just watering down the PGA Tour. I hope this year or this week kind of brings us back with an elevated event and some of these bigger names, but they really have to step up, and like, we need like a Rory Scotty duel coming down the stretch or something to I think kind of get the PGA's momentum back going. Obviously we saw the reports today too about the PGA Tour nearing a deal with sponsors and not including Liv, which is disheartening because we really need the game of golf back together. We need one tour again. And however that looks, I don't know, but it's just starting to get worse and worse day by day.
It's getting fractured quite a bit, they would say. And it's weird because, like I was telling you before the show, like on Sunday, there's a note going out that Yasir and Monahan are meeting up and they're really close to a deal. This is according to SI. Like, okay, cool. And now they're saying that, wait a minute, different. You got this different buying group that's giving a multi-multi-billion-dollar deal. And it's important because technically this was the last year at Farmers sponsoring the Farmers Open, which is just hard to even say out loud. But then again, we thought it'd be hard to say the Honda out loud. And that's God knows Cognizant or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
And Rory entered that, by the way. Like, Rory wasn't kidding about playing a lot before the Masters. That's interesting. But we're losing some major sponsors that have been like a part of this game forever.
Yeah.
And it's because of these larger purses, of course. So we just need the player. Like, I think these sponsors would obviously pay more money if you had the better players. It's very simple. So if we can make a deal, and even like a few months ago, it seemed like there was like that Boston group was going to get in on it, but so was the Liv. So they're going to like have two groups that still gets Liv back involved, folks. So I'm still optimistic that something has to happen because it just, you can't go on forever. This would just be a band-aid to me. As long as players are playing both places and they can't play together, it's pointless. It's never going to work. So
We'll
see what happens there, but we had to at least talk about it because some big names.
You're literally going to turn golf into tennis. You know, yeah. I mean, people watch tennis 4 times a year during the majors. And I don't want that to happen.
That's fair. Very, very fair. So I think that's something we got to pray to God. I'm not being sarcastic, not to be religious, but we need to hope that it really happens in a big, big way. But lastly, I said it there. I just want to get your opinion because I think we all acknowledge that Anthony Kim was a monster when he first came out, and obviously got paid a lot of money for his injury deal, so he couldn't tee it up or he had to get the money back type thing, and he kept the money. No fault there. AKA, that's the early Liv advantage. But now he might be going to Liv because his time's up, basically. And it looks like he might be going as an individual because there's two individuals each week now, not all teams. It's a hell of a concept at Liv. But what's your thoughts on the chance of maybe seeing AK back on a, you know, couple time a month basis?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be fun to see Anthony Kim play golf. But the thing about Anthony Kim is, like, you got to be, like, our age to really know who he is. You know, all the younger guys, he's just a ghost. Like, never seen him play golf. I mean, we'll see. I don't know how much he moves the needle for Liv. It's going to be a little bit. I'm with you, man. I mean, I think Liv every day is becoming more of a legitimate thing to watch on the weekend. Their coverage is not great, but at least we're going to know a lot more people. It's going to be a lot of more interesting characters. And that, I mean, they're
and they'll embrace the characters. Like, they could easily have Hatton mic'd up for all four rounds. Like, it'd be everything we've always dreamed of.
Yeah.
It could come
to reality. Three rounds.
Sorry.
No cut.
I've had. Hey, maybe halfway through the year, there's going to be four individuals and four rounds of golf. I
mean, they just seem to be fucking making shit up as they go. So
this is going to be like another full regular tour. No time. I like the idea of, because they need, eventually they're going to give in to needing the OWGR points. That's just going to happen.
Right.
But eventually PGA is going to give in because they want these players there. And I think that's where we kind of have our happy medium. We're getting closer, because I joked a long time ago when the ROM rumors came, like, ROM's going to be the bridge we needed to connect the two. It's already started way more conversations than we thought, and it's made that guys like Rory and others, like, all of a sudden, hey, we need to make the Ryder Cup team work now because we need these guys. Like, all these things that was always a no-no before,
for sure,
that's already changing.
Yeah.
So I think as long as, you know, Rory and these guys keep speaking up, it'll help, like, that whole thing go a lot faster. So yeah,
I'm with you.
But we'll see. It's a long ways to go. Yep. Hopefully we don't have updates like this every week, but we'll see. Hopefully there's only one more update, and that means they merged and we're playing regular golf. But I think once that ball tees up in Mayakoba this week, then the nearest time we see these guys all play together besides the majors is next year. Because once that schedule starts, I think it's kind of like locked in type thing.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But let's head to Pebble Beach, where we have a lot of event history, even though the event's different this year. I'll let you head it off with that, and then I'll break down some differences for them.
Yeah, obviously, I've been played at Pebble for a long time, and one of the more iconic places to play golf in the world. Last year, Justin Rowe was the champion, 18 under, 3 shots over Brendan Todd and Brandon Wu. 2022 was Tom Hoge, 19 under, 2 shots over Jordan Spieth. 2021, Daniel Berger,
yep.
18 under, 2 shots over Mav McNeely. Nick Taylor was the 2020 champion, 19 under, 4 shots over Streelman. Phil Mickelson won this event 5 times. Jordan Spieth's in the field, past champion. Brent Snedeker, I don't think he's in the field, but he's won this a couple times. So, yeah.
Yep, it's going to be interesting. It's 80 golfers, elevated event. I believe it's like top 50 in the world, past winners. There's all these other criterias. That got interesting on Twitter over the weekend. Even
The Aon top five.
Aon top five.
Chasers.
Yeah, it's a million. Like, you make fun of Liv all you want, but like PGA, I joked off the air. And you're like, true. I'm like, PGA's shifted the goal lines quite a bit these days too on certain things.
I mean, the amount of different fucking standings they have is ridiculous, man.
Oh, pretty soon we'll be on the what's the one with the I can't even think of it now. But there was one that
the risk reward challenge.
That's the one. The top 10 get paid like $1 million or whatever the hell it is. Yeah. it's freaking insane. Yes. But yeah, so there's 80 golfers, and Michael Kim was making a good point. Like, there's the Aon top five, but a lot of them are past winners, like over the last 3 weeks. But then there's a whole lot going on. It's insane. I can't even do the math. So, bottom line, 80 golfers, but it's only a pro-am for Thursday and Friday this year. The first two rounds, I should say. I'll explain more of that in a minute. But first two rounds, it'll be pro-am. And then that's at Spyglass and at Pebble. There'll be no Monterey Pacific, the easiest golf course this year. So that's a plus. And then you get Saturday and Sunday rounds 3 and 4 at Pebble, just the pros, no cut. So 80 golfers over the weekend at Pebble. You'll have it split up essentially 80 golfers on Pebble, 80 golfers on Spyglass the first 2 days.
40-40.
Because of the amateurs, 80-80.
Oh, yeah, you are
correct. And so it breaks it up that way. But yes, 40 professionals on both. And that's the plan for now. I think we know these courses plenty by now. Pebble, it's around 7,000 yards, give or take. Extremely small golf course. Very gettable fairways. Depends on what the rough's going to look like this week. Smallest greens, like postage stamps out there, and they are very teeny tiny. When you walk that course, it's a shot maker's. Like, it's a dart throwing contest. You have to be able to get there. There's smart bunkers around the greens, POA greens. So if it does rain like it's supposed to, those bad boys could grow and get goofy. That's all I'm going to say. That can make putting a lot of fun. But it's a very gettable golf course. I remember the first time I walked out there, you get the whole nostalgia about Pebble. The more you walk Pebble like these guys have, it's just a regular golf course so you can see the ocean. Like, that's really all it is. It's a nice golf course. Don't get me wrong. You have $1 billion houses surrounding it too, which is different than most places.
Yeah.
But it's essentially like, I have a great friend. We have a course inside Carmel that he says he likes more than Pebble. And the only difference is I get to see the ocean. Who cares? I'm golfing. So that's the way he looks at it. I guarantee the pros feel the same way. Just gonna throw it out there. You got the iconic 7th par 3 that everyone talks about. You have the fun closing 18th par 5 where a sinkhole happened this past year. Just keep an eye on that. and there's a big tree. Spyglass is about 7250. It's a little longer than Pebble, but still greens are bigger than Pebble, but not super big. Poa, it's more of a tree-lined course, though, so if it's windy, a little bit of advantage there. A lot of ups and downs, like the first holes of par five, is like straight downhill. It's wild, but a lot of ups and downs where Pebble's pretty flat overall outside of a couple holes. Like, so it's pretty much, you want to be in the fairways, obviously, because it's going to be lift, clean, and play at least the first 2 days. I think it'll be all 4 days. The weather looks nasty. That'll be the biggest thing this week because no cut events. A lot of these guys are just going to be trying to get birdies and get paid. But it's going to be nasty weather-wise. Coming Wednesday, the storm comes in. It's supposed to be a slow-moving storm. They're saying at least an inch pretty much everywhere, anywhere from an inch to 5 inches in the hills. So Pebble probably gets an inch to 2 inches, give or take. We'll see. That's going to be nasty and very windy that day. Then it's like scattered showers the rest of the way, Saturday being the least likely scenario. But it's still good chances of rain pretty much every day, some in the 50 to 60% chances. Like Saturday's 20% right now. And then Monday, Tuesday, it's back up to 80 to 90%. So they kind of need to get it done by Sunday, and that's going to be complicated. Given, like Jesse said, if there's only 80 golfers over the weekend, you can play about a round and a half a day if you guys play in some scattered showers. You guys can get going. We'll see how it goes, but just be prepared for I hope it's not just a three-round elevated event. Wouldn't be surprised if that ended up happening, though. And also, no, it's probably going to be lift, clean, and play the entire time, which we saw at Torrey the first 2 days. Humongous advantage over the weekend, sucked tremendously. So something else to think about for those birdie makers that are great finding the fairway, because you don't have to bomb it here. They have great iron plays into the green, approach shots. Those are the guys that could really flourish here. So like I said, I can talk forever, but what do you got on this one, Jesse, like stats wise?
Yeah, I mean, you got to hit the greens in regulation. I also weight course putting. So if, like, you have a model, particularly on Fantasy National, I use Fantasy Labs, of course, but where you can weight a particular course putting and see how well a guy has putted there, because these POA greens are difficult. So keep that in mind. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see this year, because the course history, obviously, in the past has been three rounds of pro-am, right? They usually end in pro-am. Sunday back at Pebble.
Yeah.
Three different golf courses. So the tournament history, three different golf courses, three rounds with the, and so this year we're backing that off to 2 and 2.
Amateurs everywhere.
Yeah. But I just don't know how much you weight course history because of that. I mean,
well, the fields are so shitty.
Yeah. That too. I mean, the fields weren't great, but like, if you look at Rory, I mean, you know, he's missed 2 out of 3 cuts.
Yeah, one was the U.S. Open, and
two of them were U.S. Opens that he missed the cut at. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's going to be difficult from, like, weighting course history. I don't know how much you really have to weight it, but you can, obviously.
I'm going to use it a bit more so for the guys that really do like Pebble, because I think that there is a plus to that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I like recent form a lot more right about now. That's what I'm looking at. And in the end, the weather is going to dictate a lot, because, like, people complained about the U.S. Open a few years ago. There was all too low scoring. There's no win that week. Good chance you get some shitty weather this week, folks. Just going to throw it out there. So you guys get your wishes will be granted, and you're going to get to see some professional golfers have to grind their rear ends off to make it happen. So Snedeker should be in the field. That's a guy that could benefit from this. But let's get into the DK scoring for the week. And we have four golfers in the 10K range. You got Rory McIlroy at 11.5, Scheffler at 11.4. So Rory surpasses Scheffler in pricing. Victor Hovland, 10.2. There's a rumor on Sunday about Vic going to live. And Xander Schauffele at 10,000. Who do you have up here?
Obviously, all four of them are playable, but the two guys I would concentrate on are Rory, just with his, you know, kind of form coming in. He's been playing over mostly overseas for the last four tournaments, all over the seas for the last four tournaments since the PGA Tour ended, and his worst finish was 22nd in that span. He finished second at the Dubai Invitational most recently, a couple weeks back. And then Hovland at 10-2, just for the course history. Like I said, I mean, I don't know how much you want to weight this, but 13th, 38th, and 12th in his three starts at Pebble. One of those was 2019 when they had the U.S. Open here. But
he was the amateur that year.
Yeah, and I'm just waiting on Vic to break through, man. I really need him to have a good year. That way I can sell this putter of his for a lot more money than I bought it.
There you go. Now I have Rory and Vic as well. They're first and fourth of my models. It's tough because Rory's been playing overseas. He's been playing so good. Like, I don't even think the model doesn't weight those rounds, but they need to rate those rounds, if you know what I mean. But if you just look at like good drives, I'm talking guys finding fairways, Vic second in the field over the last 24 rounds, Rory's third. If you're looking at opportunities gained, they're eighth and ninth. DK points, Rory's first, Victor's second. We want DK points. This is a no cut event. So those are all outstanding. Now, if I have to be different here, I like Xander the way he's coming in right now. He looks really good, really, really good right now. Like, he's 20th in the model. He'll get overlooked in this range to begin with. He's second in the proximity for 150 to 175, which a lot of people will be. He's eighth in DK scoring. He's fourth on par five scoring. Like, it's such an easy course. If you're not birding these, or at least having chances at eagles, that's going to be rough. So, like, Xander's par five scoring is great. He hasn't played here in forever, which could be a thing. But ninth last week, third at the Amex, 10th at the Century. I think he's a guy that gets overlooked in this top range. So if you want to be different, I like Xander quite a bit. But if you're just narrowing it down, it's Rory and Vic for sure. 9K range, you got Cantlay at 97, JT at 96. Talk about getting that price bumped real quick. Mm-hmm. Spieth at 94, Home at 92, Morikawa 91, and Ludwig Aubert at 9,000. Who do you like up here?
I'll start with Cantlay at 97. The course history is
very good.
Just the events he's played here, he's not missed a cut since at least 2013. And then fourth here last year, or 2 years ago. Sorry, he didn't play last year, but fourth and third in the last two starts here, which was 22 and 21. Coming in, the form, not ideal what you want to see, but he just looks like he just kind of loves this place. Spieth is similar in the course history. But he's at least coming off a third place finish at the Century Tournament of Champions. Homa, West Coast guy, three straight made cuts at Pebble. And then Morikawa coming off a missed cut last week and just absolutely killed everybody with his chalkiness. I think he's fine to go back to. I liked him last week. I didn't actually play him, but he did finish 35th here in his one start at the U.S. Open in 2019. So yeah, he's been around here a couple times. So. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I'm on JT at 96. I'll go right back to that. Well, he rates out horribly because he was playing horribly before this, but I love the form coming in. Played well in the fall for the events he did play. He finished third at the Amex. I'm excited for a big year from JT. We've talked about that plenty on this show, and I'll take my chances there. If we're talking a guy that when he was locked in a few years back, any no-cut event, like him and Xander were the top two guys to go looking at because they just like to fire away. And JT's fifth in opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds. That's with being 58th in this field. As bad as he was playing, he's still fifth in opportunities gained. That tells you how it's just been a conglomerate of other things going horribly wrong for JT. I don't mind Spieth. That course history is very tough to ignore. And one of the reasons he's pretty good at that probably is there's a lot of par fours, 350 to 400 yards. He's first in the field over the last 24 rounds in those. And then Max Homa, I'll go right back to him. He's 14th in this model. He just is you mentioned the California guy and all that good stuff with him coming off that rough week at Torrey. Just beat him up, grinding. Like, I was watching his first round especially. It was just grinding and nothing worked for him. But I have no problem going back to Max if you need to. 8K range, you got Burns at 89, Finau at 88, Cam Young at 87, Fleetwood 86, Sungjae 85, Jay Day 84, Matsuyama 83, Fitzpatrick 82, Hogard 80, Nikolai Hogard at 81, and then Tom Kim and Binion at 8,000. Who do you like in this range?
You start with Sam Burns at 8,900, 39th here, 2021. Coming off a sixth at the American Express. He should have won the American Express, and then I don't even know how to explain it. The last two holes for him, double-double to finish sixth. So I kind of feel like he might go a little bit overlooked there. Hideki at 83. Hideki flashed a little bit of form last week. Ended up finishing 13th. Didn't have a good Saturday, but otherwise had three solid rounds at Torrey. So I do like him. And then Højgaard, yeah, at 81. I mean, this is a different animal than Torrey as far as like the length and that kind of thing. But finishing second at Torrey is very good. you know, obviously he's not going to be too awful bothered by the putting because they are both Poa Green. So I like going back to Hogarth this week at 81.
Yeah.
Is it a Matt Fitzpatrick week?
I love his history. If the weather's as bad as I think it's going to be, there's a lot of reasons for me to like Fitzpatrick this week. Yes. I have him checked off 100%. He likes playing here. He likes bad weather. He can bomb it, so he's not a short course narrative anymore, per se, as some people used to give him. But
sure.
Like the approach is off of late, like last 24 rounds. It's a lot of pink on this chart, but I still don't mind Fitz because if the weather is the way it is, it's not going to be as much of a birdie fest as it usually is, if that makes sense. So I'm on board with Fitz in that scenario. Other guys I'm looking at, Sungjae, I'll keep going there. The dude's just been locked in right now. I know he had a rough week at Torrey, but that's it almost like a U.S. Open at times out there where I kind of just let that slide a little bit if it works out well. So Sungjae, I'll go right back to him. Jason Day had a horrible week last week, but if you want to trust tournament history, this is one where you can kind of pick if you want to trust her or not. Didn't play here last year, but in 24th, 7th, 4th, 4th. Loves playing Pebble. If you want to go that route, you can. I like Hideki. He is looking like a brand new man out there right now. Finished 13th last week. That was in part to a big Sunday. 30th at Sony, 58th at Century. So getting better and better each week out there. Has not played here in forever, but outside of the U.S. Opens. So I like Hideki, and then I do like Fitz at 82. Lastly, Binion at 8K. I'll be back on the Binion train. He's 9th in DK points for the last 24 rounds, 10th in opportunities gained. Pretty good at the short par fours. And you look at recent history, he's 2nd at the Sony, 4th at the Century. That's quite the start to the season for Binion. And he finished 37th here last year. So give me some more Binion for sure. 75 to 79, you got Poston, Thigala, Henley, Hostler, Keegan, Connors. That's quite the price drop for Keegan. Connors, Scott, Harmon, McCaffrey, Rose, and Kirk. Who do you like here?
Start with Poston up top at 79. 68th here in his last start, which was 2018, missed the cut in 2017. But the form coming in just continues to crush, especially at his typical price tag. He's priced down this week because this is a better field, but has been the 9K range and, you know, just turning out top 10s, top 5s. I missed the memo last week on Bo Hostler being chalk.
Shit, so did I.
But, you know, I miss it quite often, so that's no surprise. Bo's played here plenty, made 4 straight cuts, 11th and 3rd in his last 2 starts at Pebble, coming off a 6th place finish last week. And then Justin Rose, the defending champion, has never missed a cut here. Obviously, there's no cut this week, so it doesn't matter.
Shouldn't miss one this week either.
Do what?
So he shouldn't miss one this week either.
Yeah. He's not going to. It's going to be 6 consecutive cuts this week for Justin Rose at Pebble Beach. But, you know, obviously he won last year. So, I mean, why not go back to the same guy? He's not necessarily coming in playing great, but he is making cuts. So he's playing decent enough.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. It's an interesting range. Like, I can make some arguments for a lot of guys. Poston 100% with you. He's 4th in my model right now over the last 24 rounds. 2nd in par 5 scoring. 6th in the par 4s. I'm looking at 6th in opportunity gains. 3rd in DK scoring. This is a great setup for him. I don't mind Henley. 17th in my model. Talk about approach game. He's usually one of the best in the fields. I like Hostler quite a bit. He's 12th in my model. The chalk last week was a major surprise to me. I was saving him for this week. He loves Pebble. The conditions look like they're going to be in Hostler's favor. So I like him quite a bit. 10th in DK scoring, 13th in opportunity gain. Like top 15, top 20 in a lot of the categories I'm looking at. So like that with Hostler. I always have a soft spot for Keegan. I don't have him checked off this week yet, but he's going to be low-owned. And the weather does keep looking like it's going to be nasty. I could see me liking a little Keegan in my life. And then lastly, I like Harmon at 76, just a guy that can, you know, play the three wood, the approach game. And his short game is very good, so I don't mind him. McCarthy's played very well here. If it does turn into a putting contest, best putter out there. You mentioned Rose, and Kirk's another guy. If you're looking at short courses, approach game stuff, Kirk, we just saw it happen already once this year. He took care of it at this, I believe it was this, the Century.
Yep.
And he's first in this field from 125 to 150. He's 4th in 150 to 175. He's 3rd in opportunities gained. And he's 6th strokes gained approached over the last 24 rounds. So rates out extremely well if he just finds the fairway and it's lift clean and play. Kirk's a guy that could benefit tremendously from that. So another guy to think about. 7K to 74. You got Fowler, Wyndham. Talk about the U.S. Open champ at 7,400 bucks now. Siwoo Kim, Eric Koloff, his first miscut in a millennium, it feels like. Hadwin, Jägerbombs, Kevin Yu, Nick Taylor, Alex Noren, Keith Mitchell, Harris English, Pavon, and Sepp Straka, Todd, and Evie Hart out at 7K. Who you like in here?
Yeah, start with Jaeger. Very tilted. I didn't put him in my lineup last week. But I did bet him, and then so that paid zero. So that was great. His course history is not great. Miscut 43rd, but he's just playing so well right now. Also, we'll be betting him to win again this week. Eric Cole at 73. Talk about him every week. 53rd last year. He finally missed a cut last week at the Farmers. So I like him coming back. Nick Taylor's a past champion at this event. Hasn't missed a cut here since 2018. So really likes this place, and he's coming off a missed cut. So another guy who potentially could be low on there. Kevin Yu at 7,200. Seventh here last year, and then coming off a sixth place last week. Third at the American Express. So this guy's the last 2 weeks has played really, really well, and then has the course history kind of combo there that you really like to see. So those are my four main targets in this range.
And that Kevin Yu number surprised me when I looked at that. That stood out. Like, wow, did not expect Kevin Yu to be that dude. Eric Cole, if you want to go back to him, no problem. No cut event. He could have a bad round and also go 10 under. No one would be surprised. So Eric Cole, sixth of my model. You can go that direction. Jägerbombs, keep running that train. Just listen to him after the round. It's like he was bummed he lost, but he wasn't like one of those guys that was hanging his head. He's just like, yeah, you know, kind of live and learn type thing. And he's ready to go golf some more because he's back at it again this week. So Jägerbomb's totally fine. He's second in par fours, 350 to 400 in this field, seventh in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds. You mentioned you. Nick Taylor, just going to throw him out there. The form has not been, like, ideal of late. You look at his recent tournaments for Nick Taylor. Miscut at the Amex, but seventh at Sony, 52nd at Century. Plays really well at Pebble. That's why I want to bring. He's a past winner at Pebble. So I want to bring Nick Taylor up. And then you got Keith Mitchell's played well here. Harris English has played well here, especially if it's like more of an approach game. English had a bad week last week. He barely made the cut. Had a great back nine on Thursday. Then just sucked over the weekend. I know for good reasons. But really good approach numbers right now. 71 is not bad. I don't know if he's got enough to like crush it for you though on the weekend. And then you got like Brendan Todd's a fairway finder. And I like the EVR angle. You know, Todd's 15th in my model. Like again, fairway finder, iron play. He's the mold you're looking for here. Has played really, really well here. Kind of like a cheaper Kirk is the way I look at Brendan Todd. But EVR, man, this is a dude in a no-cut event that can just start scorching boards if he gets it going. And I like that in a field like this. So EVR stands out. Probably will have a share or two in my 3-max this week. 6K range, what do you like in here?
Is it a P. Raj week?
Yes, he loves it out here. And just for those that want to know, I did text Jesse at about Tuesday evening and said it's a P. Raj week. I gave him a few reasons why, and he put a top 20 bet down on it.
I did. Yes, that was the only bet I cashed, which on the tournament. So it pretty much kind of broke me even for the week, which I appreciate very much. High tip over there. So P. Raj going back again this week, even though he has not made a cut here since 2018.
Which is crazy because he loves playing. Like I've seen him do some nasty things out here. So that's very surprising to see.
Yeah.
I like P. Raj right now.
Cbez, 14th here in his one start in 2022, coming off a miscut at the Farmers. Nick Dunlap, 6,900, coming off a win at the American Express, finally turned pro. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't consider him this week. The stats won't be there, obviously, because of one tournament. But, I mean, he won the one tournament that he played in, and he did it rather convincingly. I mean, obviously, he won it by one shot, but still, like, I don't know. He parred the last hole. I mean, most people in their first tournament need a 3 or 4 shot lead going into the last hole just to
that up and down was wild. We talked about that last week.
I'm very impressed with his game. Putnam played here plenty, did miss the cut last year, but sixth in 2022, and has made 4 straight cuts on tour, so playing decently well. Adam Schenck, another guy, played here enough, 3 out of 5 made cuts at this event, come off of 25th at the Farmers. Tomas Dietrich, 37th here last year. pretty solid showing last week. He was in, I want to say he was in the final group on Friday.
On Friday, he was, yes.
Yeah, and then shot 73 and then 74 on Sunday, so, or Saturday. But I like going back to him this week, especially at that price. For some reason, Grayson Murray is number one in my model. I burn it. I don't know how or why. I guess it's
because he did win. He did win this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Taylor Moore, two out of two made cuts at this event and has made both the cuts that he's, well, the century, and he made the cut last week. So, yep, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, for down here, I got P. Raj checked off. I love Seabez at 69. I think it's too cheap. I know he missed the cut last week, but the showing you showed the week before, that's the Seabez we know. Shorter course. You know, he's ninth off the tee in the last, or no, that's UVR. He's just pretty average, like 15th, 20th ranked in most stats I'm looking at. So I like me some Seabez. Cam Davis, short course, played okay here in the past. Go back to him at $6,700 because he's another one of those guys that can throw an 8-under round down there. You can put an 8-over round down there. We don't care. Just finish decently and score a lot of DK points. So at this price range, because stars and scrubs will be a thing this week. So I don't mind Cam Davis. Hoagie's been good here. Another guy, though, that can go high and low and have some fun is Adam Shank. But like a whole Davis, Hoagie, Shank range, those are all guys that can just have so many polarizing rounds. So sure. those are the kind of guys I like down here to no cut event. That Davis, Hoagie, Shank range. If you want to play ownership, knock yourself out. I think Davis has the highest ceiling, but to each their own. I like Taylor Moore quite a bit. You mentioned him at $6,400. Brandon Wu is another interesting one down here in the low six is $6,300. Second here last year, missed cut in a 38th. So he's a guy that at least has had good history here. Mark Hubbard, he ranks ninth in my model somehow. He's just been kind of, yeah, he's eighth in approach, fifth in good drives, seventh from 150 to 175. He's $6,300. We know he can go low at times. Matt McNeely came back last week, and we saw his name on the leaderboard quite a bit for a while there and ended up finishing 37th, though, as he fell apart over the weekend. He feels like he's close. He feels like he's really close. I don't know if it's worth paying yet, but he's only $6,200. So pick your poison. If you just want to go straight YOLO, Seamus Power and Pete Maldonado are down here at $6,000. Just going to say Seamus, 15th, 9th, cut 38th here. Maldonado, 4th, 42nd, cut 11th the last 4 years. Obviously different fields, but they have finished very well at this event. But current form, a lot to be desired between the two. But they're in the field and there's no cuts. So if they can somehow find their form at a course they like to play at for $6,000, that seems pretty entertaining to me is all I'm going to say. So pick your poison. All right, Jesse, let's recap things. 10K and above, who is your number one pick?
Rory.
I'll take Hovland to be different, but it's probably Rory. 9K range.
I'm going to say Cantlay.
I am going to go with Justin Thomas. 8K range.
I'll say Sam Burns.
I'll go with Benny On. Really liking me some Benny On this week. 75 to 79.
Poston.
Bo Hostler. Should have said. It's between Hostler and Kirk. I'll give two, but it's real close. 7K to 74.
Jaeger.
Jaeger Bombs is a good call to pick someone different. I'll take EVR. 6K range.
Dietrich.
Seabez. I need to look. I didn't even look at it. You mentioned you had Grayson Murray as your number one. Where's he? He's 54th in my model. That seems more checked out right there.
I think my model's trash.
He is first in par five scoring. I'll say that. He's 11th in DK scoring over the last 24 rounds. But his 24 rounds involve a lot of alt events as well. So pick your poisons there. He's really good at the Barbasol. So we got that going for you. We're not going to do cash this week because it's a no-cut event. You guys know the rules on this show. But if you're playing GPPs, Jesse, where are you starting out?
Yeah, I would probably go like Cantlay, Hideki, and Jaeger.
Cantlay, Hideki, Jaeger. That's not bad. I'm going to go in a tournament. I want to go Xander, JT, and EVR. That's about as different as you can probably get out the gate, folks. So have some fun with that one. And last but not least, your picks to win. What are we looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah. So the key is to go to the board, scroll down to where you see 100 to 1.
Yeah, okay? That's how it's been working lately.
And then bet them all.
I legit had someone in the Discord I'm in that said, hey, is it time just to build all 6 and 7K lineups and leave a bunch of money on the table? I said, it's felt that way. I don't think it worked this week because of the stars, but in weeks past, you haven't been wrong.
It's just absolutely nuts. Dietrich at 130 to 1.
Oh, you're not kidding. You're going all 100 to 1s.
Yeah. No, I mean, Jaeger, I'm going to bet Jaeger in 70 to 1. I think Rose is 90 on DK. He is 110. Like, on FanDuel. FanDuel has better odds. So just keep that in mind if you're watching this. We always say DK, but their odds are shit. And I mean, yeah, if we look like more towards the favorites or whatever, Spieth at 18 is not terrible. JT Poston at 40. I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I don't like the odds on this. For the most part, on these like lower guys, like 7.5 on Rory. So, come on, man.
It's insane. Like, if you're looking at some longer ones, like Chris Kirk at 80 to 1, I like that. Just the way he's playing, a course fit, I like that a lot, actually. It's funny. Pavon and Dunlap are both 100 to 1, past two winners on tour, still 100 to 1. it's freaking nuts. But yeah, 80 to 1 for Kirky, and Ricky's down here at 130.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Huh. That's really interesting. Taylor Moore, I don't know if I'd pick him to win at 150, but a top 10 or something could be fun in an 80 golfer field. I did some
top 20s.
What else you got? What do you got?
Somewhat based on what you were talking about too. Rose is this is on FanDuel 260 plus 260. Dunlop's plus 300. Dietrich's plus 360, and then EVR your boy plus 400. Just gonna That's tell your
really good.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a fan of EVR this week, I'm gonna bet him.
There you go. Well, I'm just saying, like, you look at think about the top 20. That's a quarter of the field. Like, yeah. You're not like, yeah. You. It's a 4-day event. Yeah, that's pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm looking at these right now. Jaeger's plus 225 on DK. Right. That seems pretty fun. It's gonna be Chris Kirk at plus 240. This is where I'd be living. I wouldn't be picking overalls like everybody else. I'd just be living in the top 20s each week. Like, pick like 10 guys and dance. That's just what I'd be doing. I can't bet in California, unfortunately.
These still are crazy to me.
It is ridiculous. There's a lot of crazy things in California. Don't get me started. No. That top 20 world's fun. I'd be having a good time on that one. But that'll do it this week, Jesse. Final thoughts for Pebble Beach. Next week, we get the Waste Management Phoenix Open and the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's next week will be definitely a fun one. I feel like that's kind of the start of the golf season.
Pretty much.
You get to Waste. And then so you get to Waste Management, and then you turn right back around and get to watch what's his name? Patrick Mahomes win another championship. It'll be great.
And Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and all that fun stuff. That'd be cool.
Blast. Can't wait.
But yeah, have fun this week, everybody. Hopefully I'm not optimistic on the weather just because I live out here, and that's what I'm seeing on a day-to-day basis. The forecast has only gotten worse over the last few days, but I'm hoping we get some good golf, not crappy shortened weather golf. We'll have to wait and see, but we'll do our best. We'll put our lineups in. We'll see where we got. We'll be back with you guys next week to preview the Waste Management Open. But for now, find Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the pod at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick, and this was your 2024 AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am Preview. Catch you all next time.